Oh, Jake Thistle.
Hello there. How you doing?
Man, we got working. I was just a DJ. I didn't have a first-class engineer, so all this stuff is new to me.
Yeah, me too. I've never really used Anchor. We did last year. We did a school project and we had to make a podcast, and we could either use Audacity or Anchor, and I ended up using Audacity. So I've never really used this program before.
Well, maybe you can teach me Audacity. Why don't you just come out here and move out to Los Angeles, Jake, and then you can be my IT guy.
I'll try my best.
Anyway, Jake, how old are you, buddy?
I'm 14.
14. And you were born in?
2004.
I mean, what city?
Oh, Paramus, New Jersey.
And you still live there?
I do, yeah. Yeah, and it's northern Jersey. It's in the suburbs of New York.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you like it there? You must.
I do. Yeah. It's pretty cool. We're only, a few miles from New York. It still might take 2 hours to get in there during rush hour, but, distance wise, we're pretty close. So
So you're playing gigs and you're a star on Tom Petty Nation. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you.
You are. There's no doubt about it. And how being so young, how did you get into Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, or music in general, but specifically Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
Well, it all started in 2008. I was three. I was going to turn four in a few months. And Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers played the Super Bowl halftime show. And my parents let me stay up for half of the game, the Super Bowl, hoping maybe, I'd get into sports or something like that. But I saw them playing and I was just mesmerized. So I'd go on YouTube and I'd look up, Tom Petty videos. I watched that Super Bowl over and over and over. And, eventually YouTube would start recommending to me other great, musicians, from around the same time, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Eric Clapton, the Beatles, stuff like that. So, I kind of developed an appreciation for that type of music.
Uh-huh. So were your parents fans of Tom Petty or not?
They are, yeah. Probably not as much. They're very big fans. Probably not as much as me, because I'm a huge fan. But definitely, I think they're happy that I'm listening to a lot of their favorite music too.
Yeah. So they listened to Tom Petty when they were young.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what do you like about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers? Just kind of break it down for me, if you can. What do you like about those guys?
Well, I think the most interesting thing, about them is just, Tom Petty and Mike Campbell, they're such great songwriters.
Yeah.
And, especially as a musician myself, it's just really cool to see, cause now I'm starting to write songs. I really like to write and I write a lot, but it's just, it's really cool to see, how they wrote songs and how, they wrote a song that reached millions of people, but each person can feel like it was written just for them, And well, I think that's, it's a really difficult skill to master. And I think they did it, great. That goes with a lot of classic rock artists, but I think that's the main reason I'm drawn to that type of music and Tom Petty and all those artists, is just because, it's amazing what they're able to do, with their songs.
Yeah. I never really thought about it like that. They write a song and everybody feels like it's their own song. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that. I don't know why. But so you got a favorite song or two or three or four or five? Give me five.
Five favorite songs.
Yep.
Well, I'll have to say Dogs on the Run from Southern Accents. That's one of my favorites.
Why is that?
I'm not sure. I always really liked it. And then I heard him play it live, acoustic, and they slowed it down. They put it in a different key, and it was just, I think, I'm not sure. I just, there's a lot of lines in that song I really like. Ain't it funny how the crowd gathers around anybody living life without a net? Uh-huh. That's just a really cool line to me. So that's a good one. Rebel is another great one. A similar thing. I always liked it, but he made an acoustic version in some of the later years, and I really liked that version. Crawling Back to You.
I love that song because I'm from Memphis.
And oh, cool. Awesome.
Anyway, go ahead.
Crawling Back to You from Wildflowers. I'm a big, I just recently, maybe a few months ago or something, someone posted a video on YouTube of Tom Petty. They played a show in downtown LA at the Olympic, 2002 or something like that. And they played the last DJ in full, in order. And wow. It's a really cool concert to watch. I watch it all the time, but because I was never too familiar with that album. It always, I don't know, before then it kind of slipped past my radar a little bit. Yeah, and yeah. There's a lot of great tracks on that. So, I really like Blue Sunday is a song from that album. I really like that one. Yeah. Big fan of Mudcrutch too. So Trailer, from that album is another one of my favorite, Save Your Water. So a lot of those types of songs. I really like the obscure songs. I think they're most of my favorites are obscurities, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes when I start thinking about Tom, I crank up obscure kind of songs like you're talking about. And it just helps me. I'm not sure what it is, but it's just like maybe I haven't listened to them in a while or something, but they all resonate with me. But yeah, I'm kind of like you. I like to do that. I like to put on obscure songs or songs that you don't hear on the radio that often.
Definitely. I think the reason that, we like the obscure songs is because I think Tom Petty, he was really smart and he knew what songs would sell really well and what songs, might end up, he knew which songs to pick as singles. And I think he knew that, in the, on the top, the hits on the radio, a lot of the songs are simple. So, Free Fallin's very famous, but, there's not too many words in that song. It's a great song, but it has a repeating melody and it's really cool. But then, there are other songs that, maybe they have deeper lyrics and stuff. And I think that's why, the obscurities are so cool is because, that's when he really, put his, songwriting talent to work, I think.
Wow. So are you writing songs?
I am. Yeah. I'm starting to write, a lot. It's really great to, learn from, the Heartbreakers and, Springsteen and, all those great songwriters out there. So yeah, I've been writing a lot, and I like to think I keep improving.
I'm sure.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So do you have your writer's songbook?
I do. Yeah. It's just like pocket sized notebook. It's got like paper sticking out and stuff. It looks like the book from Indiana Jones.
Do you have the writer's rhyming book?
I do.
That's pretty cool. I never used to think about that, but I never seen one actually. But when I listened to Tom, I he used to tell me he had a writer's rhyme book or something like that. And for some reason, I never really even thought about it. But so you love playing gigs. How do you get into clubs here, Jake? You're 14.
I have a lot of X's on my hands. I've been really lucky to have, New Jersey has a great music circle and, system. And a lot of the guys know the other guys, in the circle and everything. So I've been really fortunate to get a lot of, have a lot of opportunities to go around a lot of places. I play a lot of bars and, but I also, I play restaurants. I play a lot of private parties. There's a few bands around that I love to jam with, and they've helped me out when I need a band, and I try my I like to think that I help them out if they need a singer or anything like that. So it's a really great community, and I have a lot of fun running around playing.
So do you play mostly Tom Petty songs or different songs or what?
I do play a lot of Tom Petty songs, that's for sure. But I think mainly it's just, a lot of classic rock, I'm just a big fan of, classic rock music in general. So pretty much anything from, I'd say, the 50s to the 90s is stuff I'd play, I like to think I keep going back. I've been listening a lot to I like Johnny Cash a lot too. And Hank Williams too. I've been listening to from the 40s and stuff. So I think I keep going back through the years, but I really like that type of music, but definitely a lot of 60s, 70s, 80s. I think that's just a lot of that type of music.
Yeah, that's so cool for a young kid. I mean, it just knocks me out that you probably love Tom's Buried Treasure show because he plays a lot of 50s music and
oh, yeah,
a lot of blues. And
mm-hmm. I always loved it when he'd break out like a Chuck Berry cover or something like that. It's really cool to see what he was listening to when he was my age, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. So do you just like sing on demand? Do you like, can you sing right now acoustically? How tough is that? Grab your guitar.
All right.
Grab your, what the heck? We're just having fun.
All right. Yeah, I can grab it.
Yeah. This is all on the, we're just doing this because we're having fun.
And definitely.
If you can do it, hey, let's do it.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I'll grab an acoustic for you.
This sounds like we planned this, right?
I'm using my phone, so I don't know how well the sound will come out, but after this, if you want, I'd be happy to send you a video or audio of me playing or something like that.
Yeah, well, I see you on YouTube a lot, but yeah, I'd love to see you with some different things.
Cool. So just let me know if you can hear me. I'm holding the guitar now. So here it is.
Yeah.
Can you hear that? Cool. So is there anything you want to hear? I'll do I could do Dogs on the Run if you want. I know we talked about that earlier, or you know, anything you want, really.
Go for it. Let's see how it sounds. I mean, I'm not sure, guitar might be a little loud, but let's go ahead and try it.
All right, cool. I'll back up a little bit, that way it's not right next to the microphone.
Okay.
All right, so this is Dogs on the Run by Tom Petty.
All right.
Well, we come with what was on our back. Yeah, when the leaves have died and all turned black. Back when the wind was cold and blew them round, and we lay our blankets on the ground. Oh, and I woke up feeling hungry, looking straight into the sun, like a cold wind on the ground, like a dog on the run. But I fell on the board and washed up on the beach. Yeah, in the waves, the sand rolled over me, and I was held to the home of a young bleached blonde who said, honey, I discovered early in life there's ways of getting anything you want. Oh, and some of us are different. There's just something in our blood. There's no need for explanations. We're just dogs on the run. Well, now the room was painted blue and gray, and all my meals were served on a silver tray, and she would lay and light my cigarette. And she said, honey, ain't it funny how the crowd gathers around anybody living life without an end? Oh, and I'll thank you for an answer. It will never be enough. There's no way you could ever tell them. It's just dogs on the run. Oh,
dogs on the run. Dogs on the run, dogs on the run.
Wow.
There you go.
Man, you just gave me chill bumps.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
You know how hard it is for just, I mean, I'm just, we didn't, like I said, we hadn't rehearsed this thing. And I just said, hey, you want to sing a song? And Jake, yeah, we happen to have his guitar handy. Of course, you always do. And
yeah,
you sang Dogs on the Run incredibly.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You know, I think you're going to be a, excuse me, you're going to be a superstar, Jake.
Thank you so much. I, you know, I have so much fun doing this. So, you know, if I can end up doing it for a living, you know, that'd be great, you know.
I think you're on the right track, buddy. I really do. I think a lot of people on this Facebook, Tom Petty Nation, a lot of friends of yours probably think the same thing. And, man, you know how hard that is to do on this. We're doing this on a cell phone.
Yeah.
And it sounded great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's see. What else can I ask you? You want to ask me anything?
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, you know, what was it like writing the book?
Wow. That was the toughest thing I've ever done. Excuse me. Really, the toughest thing I've ever done is to write this book. One of the reasons, of course, is that we no longer have Tom. But before the book, I had been writing stories about my adventures along the road with Lynyrd Skynyrd and The Who and Elton John. And I was writing it with a friend of mine, Wayne McManus. And when Tom died, I had to stop. I couldn't write about Lynyrd Skynyrd. I couldn't write about John Mellencamp. I couldn't write about Johnny Cougar. You know, just one of those things where I just started, stories started coming to my head. And I started remembering, you know, little things like the, you know, when we got on the, I don't know if you read the two bozos on the bus thing, but, or the two bozos, the guy where he put us down in the airplane. But anyway, man, I can't tell you how tough it was, but I'm so happy now because people are just responding and sending me great emails and great reviews and you don't know how much that means to me. It really means a lot because I'm a first-time author. And I had the help of a lady named Mary Cunning. And she's a good friend of mine. She came in and rescued me. And Andrea, here's this funny story. There's a girl named Andrea DiBento. Am I pronouncing that right? She's a Tom Petty Nation person. And she did an IM to me one day, and she said, hey, if you ever need any help, I've written a book, or I've helped a friend do some editing, and if you ever do it, if you ever need anybody, I'll do it for free. So I called her up, and I just loved her from the very beginning, and she came to Los Angeles, and she sat down and started reading what I'd written, and she would go, John, there's more to this story. Come on, tell the story. And so I thought about it, I said, wow, she's right. I gotta tell more of this story. Or she would say, you know, John, I'm a fan, and I don't understand what you said about the charts or whatever, this, that, or the other. And I started thinking, you know, I gotta simplify this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we kind of made it into a folksy, you know, pretty easy to read, I think, book. And it's a lot of fun. You know, it shows sides of Tom that nobody's ever really seen, I think. And that's the thing I like about it. People love the faxes. I mean, I can't believe I saved all these faxes from Tom because we were the only people who had fax machines that we knew of, and we just started faxing each other. And it turned into a heck of a lot more. If you read the book, you'll understand what I'm saying. But Traveling Wilburys promotion. But Andrea made me think more. And I can't tell her how much I appreciate that. And she came out of the blue. She, you know, I think things, a lot of things are supposed to happen. They're meant to happen.
Yeah.
And I think you probably know what I mean.
I do, yeah.
There's a reason you love Tom Petty.
Definitely, yeah.
And the Heartbreakers.
I'd be, you know, completely different in every way had I not watched that Super Bowl halftime show, you know.
See, there you go. Same thing as me. If I hadn't picked up that obscure album in my office that day, I would have never known who Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were because they were dropping him from the label.
Yeah.
So that was meant to be. I still think that me being fired from MCA Records because I liked a kid named Johnny Cougar, who, of course, you know, turned into John Mellencamp. They fired me. If they hadn't fired me, I'd never known who Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were because ABC hired me after I left MCA. But so when I got fired, I thought, well, this is the worst thing that ever happened. And then when I heard the first Tom Petty record by accident, I said, you know, I got fired for a reason at MCA because I was supposed to pick up this album and I was supposed to put it on the turntable and I was supposed to listen to it. And I listened to it, and man, it just gave me the chill bump just like you did. And I listened again on headphones. And I don't know if you've ever listened to the first album on headphones, but man, the harmonies go flying back and forth across the left to right. And Mike's guitar does the same thing. And I was hooked from the very beginning. And it was like one of those things where, seriously, I was kind of hypnotized the first time I heard it. Probably like you when you saw him. On the Super Bowl.
Definitely. But,
yeah, you know, I think, like I said, all things are meant to happen. I wish the Tom thing hadn't happened, but of course we all do. But, you know, that's something we just gotta keep our faith in and keep playing Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers loud as we can. And I'm gonna start playing some more obscure songs like you. And anyway, so back to the book, yeah. Believe it or not, some people believe these things or not, but I had a dream one night, and Tom was in it, and he had told me to call the book Tom Petty and Me, and I thought, well, okay. And then I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went to GoDaddy, and I typed in TomPettyMe.com, and it was available, so I clicked, okay, click, and I grabbed the domain. And like I said, some people believe in that, not believe in it, but that's what happened to me. And I saw Tom in Memphis back in May of 2017 backstage, and I told him I was writing a book, and he said, you know, John, just tell it like it was and you'll be good to go. And I asked him, how you doing, Tom? He said, well, I'm having trouble hearing out of my left ear, and I've been having some aches and pains, and I kind of let it go at that. And I watched him go up on stage, and he was kind of being helped by Steve Ferroni. And yeah. I kind of thought, well, that's weird. And what can I say? It was like one of those things that, so I started writing. Let me get back to your question. So I started writing.